What is probably the number one most talked about event from the life of Christ? You know, we've talked about him, the foreshadowing of him, the prophecy of him, his existence before he came to earth. But as we think about Jesus Christ on this earth, what is the thing? And there are really two things that people focus on a lot about Jesus. One, of course, is his death. They talk about his crucifixion and his resurrection. They talk about that. But I think probably for the world in general, and the religious world in particular, the thing that most people know the most about Jesus Christ is his birth. I mean, there's this huge holiday, maybe you've heard of it, called Christmas. It's celebrated all around the world. And people love to think about that baby Jesus that came, and not so much about the things that he did when he was an adult and teaching. And I think there's a reason for that. And I think the reason is really quite simple. Little babies are cute. Little babies are not threatening. Now, while little babies will demand that you feed them and change their diapers and that kind of thing, little babies are not really very demanding that you change your lifestyle to meet their way of thinking. Now they do, you know, they do demand a lot of our time, there's no doubt about that. But little babies are just, you know, they're just so precious, and they're so cute, and you want to snuggle them and love them, and you just think, oh, that there's nothing bad could happen. There's that little baby. And I think a lot of people like to see Jesus that way. They don't like to see Jesus as the man with the whip chasing folks out of the temple. They don't like to see Jesus as the one who's saying, you hypocrites, you need to change your life. They don't like to see Jesus as the one that says, repent or you'll also perish. They don't like that Jesus. They like the little Jesus that's the baby, that's because that doesn't challenge them to change the way they live their life. And so they like to keep Jesus as the little baby that's laying there just cooing and looking up at you and just being so sweet and innocent. Because they can do that, and they can celebrate Christmas and talk about how wonderful it is that Jesus came to earth and never have to stop living a life of sin. And that's why people like that. Now let's switch gears for just a minute and talk about us. How much do you think you know about Jesus? About who he was? About what he taught? For that matter, about his birth? We have 20 questions on our quiz this morning, and we're going to have to fly to get through them. So we're going to have to go through them real quick. You won't have a lot of time to think over your answers, so you'll have to go with your first gut instinct on these. But as we look at this, 20 questions. How many of you think you'll be able to get them all right? Do you know that much about what the Bible says about Jesus' birth? Do you think you'll be able to get an A? You know, school's starting back. The kids have to take quizzes. The rest of us may have, you know, kids, aren't you students? Aren't you glad I'm making the adults take quizzes too? Isn't that great? Yeah. In order to get an A on this quiz, there's 20 questions, so each question's worth 5 points. From 90 to 100. Well, that means you could only miss two of these questions and still get an A on this quiz. So let's see how we can do. And here's the thing that I think we'll find, and this is the reason we're doing this morning, is I want us to recognize, and I hope that it'll work out. It has. I mean, I've done this with groups of preachers at a preacher's meeting where we talk, you know, had this quiz handout, and even preachers don't know a lot of these things. And they think they know some things that aren't what the Bible says. Now think about that for a minute. And I'm not talking about denominational preachers. I'm talking about a preacher's luncheon with preachers of the churches of Christ. We're supposed to be the ones that know the Bible, but we don't always know the Bible. And the point is this, as we go through this quiz and we come across things and you say, well, I think it's this, and then I show you the answer, and you say, I was sure that that was what it is. One of the things we have to understand in our society, the commercialization of Christmas and the secularization of Christmas and the corruption of what the Bible says about Jesus' birth to turn it into the Christmas holiday that our country celebrates has influenced us to believe some things about Jesus, particularly about his birth, that are not true. Now, why is that important? It's important because if our society has influenced us to believe things about something like his birth that are not true, then it's very well possible that it has influenced us to believe some things about the rest of his life and teaching that are not true. And so we need to constantly examine ourselves and compare, go back to the Bible to see what does the Bible say about who Jesus really was. Because sometimes our society has very warped views of who Jesus is, and starting with his birth. So let's give it a go. True or false? The Bible tells us to celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, if you didn't have a paper, you know, you can just answer this in your head or think about this, but keep up with how many you get right. Does the Bible tell us to celebrate the birth of Christ? Yes or no? True or false? Well, false. The Bible tells us to remember his death in the Lord's Supper each first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. There's nowhere in the Bible that it tells us to have a celebration or remembrance of his birth. Now, that doesn't mean that his birth's not significant. His birth was very significant. It was a very unique birth in all of human history. But it's not the thing that we are told, hey, keep this as a feast, or keep this as a celebration, or keep this as a memorial. The Lord's Supper and his death are the thing we're told to keep as a memorial on the first day of the week. Okay, Joseph, was he from Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Egypt, or Minnesota, or none of the above? I don't think he was from Minnesota, but if you want to guess that, you can. Well, the fact of the matter is, Joseph was from Nazareth, but he, of course, his heritage was that of being from Bethlehem. In Luke 2, 3-4, all went to be registered in his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. That's where he lived. That was his home. That's where he was from. But his heritage was from Bethlehem. So he went to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. But he was from Nazareth, but he went to the house of David, the city of David, Bethlehem. So we can give you the benefit of the doubt if you answered either Nazareth or Bethlehem. We can give you that one, even though he was from Nazareth, that's where he was living, but his heritage was from Bethlehem. How does the Bible say that Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem? How'd they get there? They went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. How'd they get there? Joseph walked and Mary rode a donkey. B, they both rode on the donkey. C, they both walked. Or D, they rode on a camel. Or E, none of the above. And now see, here's the thing that happens to us. We've seen the little nativity scenes. We've seen the little movies. We've heard the little Christmas songs. And all of these things are rattling around in our head, competing with what the Bible actually says. And the fact of the matter is, the Bible doesn't tell us how they got there. They may have gone any of those particular ways. Unlikely that they went by camel, probably, but that's even a possibility. But maybe they rode a donkey, maybe they walked, maybe Joseph led a donkey while Mary rode on it. We don't know, but you've seen the image so many times, haven't you, of Joseph leading that donkey with Mary, about 8 months pregnant or so, 9 months pregnant, riding on that donkey. We've seen that image so many times, sometimes that's seared into our mind, even though the Bible doesn't say. We need to be careful of that. Now, it doesn't mean that is wrong. We don't know. But we need to not think something is right if the Bible doesn't say. We don't want to claim something for God that the Bible doesn't teach. True or false? Mary and Joseph were married when Mary became pregnant. Now this one may be a little easier. Maybe we know this one. That's false. They were betrothed. Matthew 1:18 tells us his mother Mary was betrothed. That's kind of like engaged, to be married. But they were not yet married, and it was before they came together that she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Number 5. When Joseph and Mary found out that Mary was pregnant with Jesus, what did they do? A, they got married. B, Joseph wanted to break up. C, Mary left town for 3 months. D, an angel told them to go to Bethlehem. E is both A and D. F is both B and C. Well, the fact of the matter is, that when they found out that Mary was pregnant, they did both B and C. Joseph wanted to break up with her, call off the wedding, and Mary went out of town for 3 months to visit Elizabeth. Matthew 1:19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly when he found out she was pregnant. He knew it wasn't his baby. I mean, what would a man do? He found out his girlfriend, fiance, is pregnant with another somebody else's, not his baby. Well, he was going to get rid of her. Not get rid of her in the sense of killing her now, not that kind of get rid of her, but he just wanted to get her out of his life kind of secretly. Of course, the angel in the vision told him not to worry about that, not to do that, and to take her as his wife. Luke 1:39 and 56, Mary rose in those days, went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and remained with Elizabeth, the her there, in verse 56, about 3 months, and returned then to her house. So that's what happened when they found out that Mary was pregnant. Who told Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem? Was it A, an angel? B, Mary's mother? C, Herod? D, Caesar Augustus? E, Alexander the Great? Or F, no one? Well, you might feel a little tricked by that one, but the fact of the matter is that it was a decree from Caesar Augustus, Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. Now, Caesar Augustus didn't come himself and say, hey, you too, get up and go to Bethlehem. It wasn't like that. But it was a governmental decree from Caesar Augustus. As far as who specifically told them, it's who it came from that's the significant thing there. Caesar Augustus told them that they had to go back to their hometown where they had come from, where their family was from, and that's where they went. True or false, Mary and Joseph were married when Jesus was born. Now, we talked about when she got pregnant with him, were they married yet? But what about by the time he is born, some 9 months later? Are Mary and Joseph married at that time? Well, no. That would be false. They are not married. Luke 2:5, he went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife. Or in other words, his wife-to-be. So they still were not married at that point, who was with child. And so they still were not married, and they still had not known each other in the physical, intimate sense. And so that's the case with Jesus' birth. Now Mary, true or false, Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born. Well, I just gave that one away if you were paying attention. They had not been together yet. It's true, she was still a virgin. Matthew 1:24 and 25, Joseph did as the angel commanded him. He took to him his wife, and there it does call her his wife, even though they were still betrothed at that point. They had not actually gone through the ceremony yet. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. So they still didn't come together as a married couple until after Jesus was born. So there was no question that there's no way that this Jesus was Joseph's son. It couldn't have been. They had not known each other in that way. And number 9, true or false, Mary was a virgin all her life, or called perpetual virginity of Mary. And this is a very common teaching among some religious groups, that Mary was always a virgin, that she never knew a man in that intimate way. Well, false. Matthew 1:25, we saw already, he did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son. But in Matthew 13:55 and 56, they say, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get these things? So here we see that Jesus had at least 6 siblings, 4 brothers, and at least 2 sisters. We don't know how many sisters, but at least 2. So no, Mary did not remain a virgin for the rest of her life. She had 6 children by Joseph, at least, and possibly more than that. We don't know how many sisters, so we don't know how many daughters she had. What does the Bible say the innkeeper told Mary and Joseph? You know, they went to Bethlehem, and they went to the inn to find room. What did the innkeeper tell them? Did he say, there is no room in the inn? Did he say, I have a stable you can use? Did he say, come back after tax season? Did he say both A and B, or none of the above? Well, the fact of the matter is, we don't know what he said, because there's no mention of there being an innkeeper in the Bible. If you ever go to one of those Christmas pageants where they do the little play of, you know, there's always an innkeeper in there. And he always tells them, you know, these little things. Oh, there's no room in the inn. I'm sorry, but hey, I've got this place you can use out here at the stable. That's always there. So much so that I've had people argue with me about this. Well, yeah, he said, well, find it then in the Bible where it says anything about him. He's not mentioned. He doesn't exist in the Bible. Luke 2:7 just says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, laid him in, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Doesn't say anything about an innkeeper. Doesn't say anything about anybody. For all we know, they could have just seen somebody else coming back out of the inn and said, hey, we're looking for room. Well, don't go in there. It's full. We don't know what happened. We don't know how they knew that there wasn't room in the inn, but there wasn't. And again, you know, we don't want to drive things and make God say things that he didn't say. That'll get us into trouble. We've got to be careful of that. According to the Bible, Jesus was delivered in a stable, a manger, cave, or a barn, or none of the above. Well, none of the above as far as where he was delivered. We do know he, after he was born, she laid him in that manger. We saw Luke 2:7 just a moment ago. Which animals does the Bible say were present at Jesus' birth? Cows, sheep, and goats? Cows, donkeys, and sheep? Sheep and goats only? Miscellaneous barnyard animals? Or none of the above? Now, y'all have seen the little nativity scenes, haven't you? You got to know the answer to that, don't you? Well, not from those nativity scenes. The Bible does not specify. It doesn't say anything about animals being there. All right, how are we doing? We're 12 in. Y'all got a perfect score so far? How are we coming along with this? True or false, there was a special star that stayed over the manger, over the place where Jesus was born. Is that true or false? That's false. In fact, we see that it moved and it came to be over the house where Jesus was when he was no longer a newborn babe. Matthew 2:9-11, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Jesus was already with his mother living in a house by the time this occurred. Who saw the star in the east? Was it shepherds? Was it Mary and Joseph? Was it three kings? Was it both A and C? Or was it none of the above? Well, according to the Bible, the wise men, not necessarily kings, did. Sometimes, there's a song, We Three Kings of Orient Are. You know, we say, oh, these three kings. Well, they're referred to as wise men. The idea behind them being wise men was that they were astronomers or astrologers. They studied the stars in one way or another and believed that the stars had some significance. And that's why this star appeared. They were very interested in it because it was not one that they had seen before. And so they were stargazers. Of a sort. Matthew 2:2, they came saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. How many angels spoke to the shepherds? Was it one? Was it three? Or was it a multitude? Or was it none of the above? Well, it was one at first. The one angel spoke to the shepherds in Luke 2:9. An angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And then the angel spoke to them at that point. Now, there is another point where there's more than one angel involved there with the shepherds, and we'll see that in a moment. What sign did the angel tell the shepherds to look for? A star over Bethlehem? A baby that doesn't cry? A baby in a stable? Or none of the above? Well, again, we see that it's none of the above. He was in a manger, but Luke 2:12 says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. There's no mention of a stable or the star when it's spoken of to these shepherds. What did the angels sing? Did they sing joy to the world? Did they sing glory to the newborn king? Did they sing unto us a child is born? Unto us a child is given. Did they sing glory to God in the highest? Did they sing hallelujah? Or did they sing none of the above? Now I have to say, this is a tricky one for you again. Because what the Bible says in every translation that I looked up, they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men, when all of the multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, you know, a lot of times they sang a song, but there's no indication in the scriptures that they were singing a song. They simply were praising God and saying these things. So sometimes, you know, we even have songs. I hadn't looked for it in this songbook, but in many of the songbooks that we use, talks about the angels singing when Jesus was born. You know, there's a song like "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Well, the fact of the matter is, the Bible doesn't say they sang. Now, you know, well, you're nitpicking on that. Well, I don't know, maybe, but we don't want to try to make God say that something happened that He didn't say happened. So we gotta be aware of that. What are frankincense and myrrh? We talked about, of course, most of us know what gold is, but they also brought frankincense and myrrh to Jesus. Are they a precious metal and a drink? A precious fabric and an easily shaped valuable metal? A precious perfume and a spice used for burying people? Or none of the above? Well, they are a precious perfume and a spice used for burying people. Song of Solomon 4:14 talks about several different spices. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon. We've probably heard of that one before. Some of those other, saffron, I suppose, saffron rice or something. And all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes with all the chief spices. So both of them really are spices of a sort, or things that are used to smell good. But in John 19:39, Nicodemus, when he came to bury Jesus, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes to bury Jesus. But both of these things were perfumes, they were spices, they were things that smelled good that were used in that way throughout the Bible times. How many wise men came to see Jesus? 2, 3, 4, or we don't know? Well, the fact of the matter is, no one knows for sure how many there were. All the time we hear 3, though. Why do we hear 3 all the time? Well, it's a little bit of what might be called deductive reasoning, but it's not necessarily logical, because they opened the gifts and the gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they said, well, 3 gifts must have been 3 people. What if 2 people came and one of them was carrying a gift from somebody else with them? There would have been 3 gifts and only 2 people. What if 10 of them came and 7 of them brought gold and 2 of them brought myrrh and 1 brought frankincense? We don't know. We assume, because there were 3 gifts, that there had to be 3 people. I had a baby shower last week, and my guess would be that the number of presents did not directly correspond to the number of people that were at the baby shower. I might be wrong about that, but I'm betting that some people brought more than one present. Some people might not have brought a present. No. Some people might have sent a present that didn't go to the shower. Lots of possibilities there. So we make assumptions sometimes. It gets us into trouble. Final question. The wise men found... I say final question. There's actually a couple more. The wise men found Jesus in a manger, stable, house, or barn, or none of the above. And if you were paying attention earlier, you know the answer to that one. It's a house. Matthew 2:11. When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And they presented gifts to him. The wise men stopped in Jerusalem to inform Herod about Jesus, B, to find out where Jesus was, C, to ask about the star they saw, or D, to buy Purina camel chow. You didn't know Purina had been around that long, did you? But they came to find out where Jesus was. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him." They wanted to worship Jesus and they thought maybe the king would know. Now you would think the king, here's such a glorious event, you would think the king would know what was going on. But of course he didn't know. didn't want to know, didn't want to admit that the one who had been born was going to be king of the Jews above him. He wanted to stay king and his descendants to be king. And where do we find the birth of Jesus in order to check up on all these questions? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of the above? Only A and B, only A and C, or A, B, and C? Well, the answer to that, of course, is A and C. Mark begins with John the Baptist. And John, as we've already studied, begins back with the Word becoming flesh, but does not discuss Jesus' birth. So how'd you do? Did you get 100%? I know, a couple of those were a little tricky, weren't they? But you know, as we thought about those things, probably some of those things we thought, hey, I know that. And one I forgot to mention, what about that little drummer boy? What song did he play when he came and drummed on his drum? Well, he's not in the Bible either. There are a lot of legends and myths that have grown up around the birth of Christ. And we might say, well, you know, what difference does it make if there was three wise men or four or seven or what? Well, it doesn't very much as far as us needing to get to heaven. Again, the reason we do this today is to point out, if we could be confused by the things that we've seen and heard throughout our lives about this subject, because our society has fed us all of these things that weren't what the Bible said, if we could be confused about that, what other things might we have allowed society to influence us into believing that are not what the Bible teaches? What things do we think we know about Jesus that aren't right? I hope this has opened our eyes to the fact that we need to study the Bible, particularly, of course, the Gospels, to learn about Jesus and who He was and what He taught. You know, if you've been guilty of wanting to keep Jesus as that little baby so that you don't have to take Him as the Lord of your life, you don't have to accept Him as your master and king because, oh, He's just a little baby. If you've been guilty of that and you need to correct that in your life, if you perhaps have not accepted Jesus, His birth, His life, His death and resurrection, that He came to this earth to bring salvation to you and to me. If you haven't accepted that, if you haven't been willing to believe in Him and repent of your sins and confess Him as the Christ and be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away, you need to do that today. If you are a Christian but you've been lazy in learning about Jesus, you've been, well, I know enough about Him. We can never know enough about Jesus Christ. There's always more we need to know about Him. If you have a need to respond for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.